Ephesians, starting in chapter 6, or we'll be in chapter 6, we'll have the first four verses there are going to be what helps us to understand everything else that we're going to be doing. Today is Father's Day, and God's Word gives us an outline for fatherly workout, and so we want to see what it means to be a dad or how we should live as a dad, and we find it in this one sentence. I mean, Scripture's filled with examples of how to be a good dad and some lots of examples of ways we can go wrong, but in this sentence here in Ephesians chapter 6, specifically verse 4, we see the phrase or the sentence that says, "Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." This morning, I want to talk from this verse, and it gives us an outline, really, of what we call the do nots and the do's. What should we not do, and what should we do as a father? And so, we're going to look at the do nots first, and then we'll look at some do's. We've got 5 do nots, and then we've got 3 do's. And so I'm going to kind of go through them quickly so that we get out still on time and you're not ready to storm the stage because you're dying of starvation. But we're going to let chapter 6, verse 4, help us to apply these verses or this chapter. We're gonna let this apply to us as fathers. So again, I want to read all 4 verses, and then we'll jump into the do nots and the do's. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may have long life in the land. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Like I said, we've got 5 do nots that I want to talk about first. So the fatherhood's do nots, we're going to list them out for you. You could take notes and see what are the places and the things that we should do not. Scripture says, do not stir up anger in your children. So what are some of the things that stir up anger in our children? And these are broad ideas, broad terms, but I think it applies to us as fathers or grandfathers or those of us who maybe you're an uncle or just have a fatherly influence in someone else's life. The first thing is criticism. Now, what do we mean by criticism? When we're always critical is what I mean by criticism here. When we're always talking down, we don't have anything good to say. Everything is a negative. Everything is a correction. We don't ever praise them, but we're always looking down on them. Really, it's excessive criticism, and really that's at the top of the list. A lot of times, children grow up trying to win the favor or the love of their father because all they get is criticism. So an example of this is Winston Churchill. Many of you at least know the name. Winston Churchill was the Prime Minister of England several times, but most importantly during World War II, and he was an ally of the United States, and so he was part of the front and the leadership that pushed back Germany and helped to win the war. Winston Churchill is famous for that and his warlike or his ability to lead during the war. But Winston Churchill grew up in a family that was very negative. His father hated him. His father hated the way he looked. He hated his voice. His father didn't even want to be in the same room with him. And so his biographers made this statement from one of his letters. They quote one of his letters by saying this, Winston Churchill saying about his father, "I would rather have been apprenticed as a bricklayer's mate. It would have been natural, and I should have got to know my father." He would have rather not been the child of his father so that he could have gotten to know his father, because his father was always critical of him. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, it says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they won't become discouraged." Exasperate comes with the idea of nagging or of beating down or deriding or even to the point of breaking one's spirit. Kind of like a horse that is beaten down until its spirit is finally broken so that it will obey you and do whatever you tell it to do. Criticism comes in many ways besides overt words. Some fathers just never praise their children. It's not that they're angry with their children. They just don't be intentional about giving them praise when they need the praise. Also, tone of voice has a lot to do with someone who feels that they're just always being criticized. So that's one of the things that we can work on as dads, is making sure that we praise them when they need to be praised. It's not wrong to correct them. Don't think of criticism as just as correction, but criticism is always in just looking for the negative in things and beating them down. Why do fathers criticize? Well, maybe it's how they grew up and their fathers were very critical, so they're critical. But sometimes you're just a critical person, and you're not just critical toward your children, but you're critical in general. And so those are some of the things that we can work on as dads. So the first thing is criticism. The second thing is similar to it, but is different, is excessive strictness. Excessive strictness. I'll never forget when I was in college, one of the professors we were talking about, and Danielle and I were far off from having children, but she was talking about having kids and raising them and being a parent. And she said, "Say yes to as many yellow lights as possible." And so I thought about that. And what she meant was that there are definite red lights in life where you're like, "Nope, you're not doing that." And there are definite green lights where, yes, you can participate and be a part of that. But then there's those yellow lights in life where you're like, could go either way. And so the point was to say yes to as many yellow lights as possible so that when you say no, it's not one of those where you always say no. And so I've tried, even though I would have never done some of the things, was to say yes to some yellow lights that our children want. But some fathers exasperate their children by being overtly strict and controlling. And so the children feel like they're in this cage or in this box. We need to remember that rearing a child is like trying to grab or hold on to wet soap, a wet bar of soap. If you grab it too firmly, it's going to shoot out your hand. If you grab it too softly, you're going to be chasing it because it's going to slowly creep away. But a firm but gentle grasp on it is how you keep it in your control. And so some fathers are just overly strict. Maybe it's because they were strict. Maybe they want to protect their children from the culture that we live in that is continually becoming more and more pagan. But others are just controlling, and they control with the rules they make, or the control with what money they give out, or what friends their children can have, or just they try to just rule their children's lives excessively. So excessively is the key here. It doesn't mean that when there are not red lights in life. There are definitely red lights where you say, "No, you're not going to be part of that," or "No, you're not going to do that," or "No, we're not going to have that attitude." But an excessively strict father says no often to the yellow lights as well. Some are too strict because they care more about the opinions of others than they do themselves. They care more about how other people view their children than how their children need to be raised or viewed. As conscientious fathers, we have to say no to many things. And there are places where our children want to be part of something or want to do something or want to go somewhere or want to do something that we've got to say no to. So try to say yes as much as possible. Try to say yes even when you might make you tired because you got to get up and bring them there. Or it might cost money and you've got to pay out even though you didn't really want to. Say yes as much as you can so that when you say no, they understand that the no's are really important. We must make sure that our no's are biblically based and biblically principled too. Scripture teaches us where we should say no in life for our kids. So make sure that we understand what Scripture says so that we can say no to the right things or the wrong things that we need to say no to. So the first thing is criticism. Even we could say excessive criticism. The second thing would be excessive strictness, where you say no all the time. The third thing is irritability. This is a big one for us dads. All of us have been at a place in life where we come home and we had a bad day at work. And we just kind of blow up at the kids, right? They come to us and they want to talk to us. And it's just like, look, just give me some time is what we should say. But instead of that, we come home with an angry frown or a furrowed brow and we just go off when we really shouldn't. We've seen it. Maybe it's happened to you, but we've probably done it ourselves. Maybe that happens because his father exploded on him, or only God knows how many children lose heart because their fathers have had hard days or bad days. So we need to make sure that we leave work at work. We take that time between work and home to kind of clear our heads, not be as irritable as we could, so that we don't let the pressures of life drive us in this unhappy cycle that creates a terrible home life for our children. So we need to make sure that we're not irritable. The fourth thing that we want to make sure that we do not do as fathers is have inconsistency. There are a few things that exasperate a child more than being inconsistent because they don't know what to expect. It's kind of like when if you're riding a horse. I don't know if you've ever ridden a horse, but you've probably seen TV shows where you ride the horse, where to make the horse go, you kick it in its side and it knows to go. But if you want to stop it, you pull back on the reins. Inconsistency is like kicking a horse while pulling on the reins. The horse doesn't know what to do. Am I going or am I stopping? And so the child gets confused and he doesn't know how to respond because one day it's yes, the next day it's no. It's just inconsistency and there's no rhyme or reason for the yeses and the no's. So we want to make sure that our rules are consistent, specifically over different children, that it's always the same. We don't want to make sure that they have the same message. It's not conflicting messages across their life. So be consistent in your rules. Be consistent in what you say. Never, ever make a promise to your child that you're not going to keep, because you may forget, but years later, they're still going to remember. So make sure that you're consistent. And the last thing that we should avoid as dads is favoritism. Favoritism is a terrible, horrible thing. And sometimes children feel like there's favoritism in the family, but there's really not, because children are different. And we don't recognize this as children, but when you become a father, specifically a father of multiple kids, it becomes evidently more clear than ever why you were treated a certain way and your sibling was not. we have different personalities, and we process things differently, and we respond differently to different types of criticism or encouragement. But favoritism is one of the most exasperating things that a father can commit against a child. Some children need more discipline. Others need more independence. Some need more structure, but some need structureless. Some need to be held more than others. Some need to be encouraged more, but no child should be favored over the other. We look in Scripture and we see an example of favoritism that was detrimental and was very, very bad. We see it in the example of Isaac. Isaac had two sons. He had Esau and he had Jacob. Esau was a man's man. He hunted, he fished. He was a hairy dude. And then there was Jacob, who was a little more of a mama's boy. He stayed close to mama. Daddy favored Esau. Mama favored Jacob. And it created problems between the brothers, so much so that Jacob cheated and lied and stole from Esau in order to get his father's blessing. And you would think Jacob would have learned from that lesson, but he doesn't. Jacob has 12 sons, and Jacob picks one out of the 12 that he favors more than the others. He favors him. He gives him a special gift. The gift gets flaunted. And Jacob thinks he loses Joseph, his favorite son, and goes into a mourning period of several years before he finds out his son's not really dead. Favoritism causes detriment, not just within the father and children, but also between the siblings. So, make sure that you don't show favoritism, even though it may look different, how you raise each child because of their personality. Some children are more like the father, some are more like the mother. But we need to make sure that we treat them all. We spend time with each one independently in the way that they need, so that they know that they are loved as much as the next. So these are the five don'ts or do nots. We don't want to be overly critical. We don't want to be excessively strict. We don't want to come home or be just in a state of irritability all the time. We don't want to be inconsistent, and we don't want to show favoritism. But the Scripture doesn't just say a negative aspect. There's also some do's of how we as fathers should raise our children. There's three do's. The first one is tenderness. Scripture says, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And so how do we do that? One way is to be tender. There's nothing more manly than a father who's being tender with his baby or hugging his preteen or even teenage son or even adult child. There's something about that physical touch that a father can give their child that is not unmanly. It's not sissy. It's a father expressing love. Now, I do it with my children. Thank God my children are physical as well as I am. Danielle and I had to get a bigger bed because our kids would come in our bed and they keep growing on us. And so we needed more room. And so we switched from a queen bed that we had since we were married until just a couple of years ago. We switched to a king so that we can all pile up together in the bed and watch a show or do whatever. Every morning during school, Amos comes in the room when Danielle wakes him up, and he comes in there and he hugs with me before school has to get up for school. Eli does it from time to time, and so does Amos. Nothing makes me happier than when my boys come in the room for no particular reason, not to ask for money or for anything like that, and they just come hug with me, and we're watching baseball, we're watching TV or whatnot. I'm a physical touch guy, and so I've tried to instill that in my kids as well. And so even today, as teenagers, there's physical touch. This may embarrass them, but I'm going to say it anyway. A few weeks ago, we were watching a movie. They fight to see who gets to sit next to me, and yes, I am boasting about that. So I'm sitting in the middle. At that point, Asa and Eli won the battle, and so Amos is two seats over. I don't even remember what we were watching. Some Marvel movie, probably. And I'm sitting there between Asa and Amos, and they're both holding my hand at the same time. And I thought, as a dad, there's nothing, even though it was in the dark and nobody could see them, there's nothing more fulfilling as a dad that my teenage boys are holding my hands on each side of me. There's just something about a father who can express physical love to their children. And so we need to do that. They need that. That it's okay to hug your child. It's okay to tell them you love them. When I get to drop them off at school, I tell them I love them. And if they don't respond to me, I will stop the car and roll down the window and holler it from the car until they respond. They've learned quickly that I will do that, and so they respond before they get down now. But I don't care if I'm that uncool dad who will embarrass his children so that they know that I love them. Being tender is important. It's something that we as men need to do. It doesn't make you a sissy. It doesn't make you any less manly. It lets your son grow up knowing that it's his dad loves him and he cares about him and is proud of him. We can be verbal in our tenderness. We can be physical in our tenderness. But it should come to us as children of God naturally to be tender, to hug, to love, and to make sure that they know that they're cared for. The second thing is discipline. Now, discipline is usually thought of in a negative sense, that we think of discipline as just corporal punishment, which it part of it is. I think that personally that there should be corporal punishment if need be. It shouldn't be excessive. We shouldn't beat our children. But I think at times that form of discipline is appropriate. However, discipline is not just negative. It's not just beating them, but it is training them. It's training them to be ready or be in the right line or to be trained, not in a negative sense, but know what to do and what not to do. We as adults, we are still disciplined by our Father. We are still disciplined. We are still trained by life. So discipline can include corporal punishment if it's needed, but it also encompasses everything necessary in order to train us up in the way that we should go. Too many children are disciplined, however, only by their mothers, and the father will let them do that instead of being a part of that discipline. So dads, we need to be people who also discipline our children. We need to make sure that they are living the life that they should live, that they're doing what they should do to progress and to be better. So we should discipline them, which goes closely with the third thing, which is instruction. Instruction is often part of discipline. When you discipline, it's also used in order to instruct and to make them out and help them to do what they should do. There's verbal instruction, there's warning, but really, instruction often comes from how we also live our lives. It's often said that children learn more about life by what we do than by what we say. And we would say, do as I say, not as I do. Because we don't live up to the instruction that we give sometimes. As dads, we need to make sure that we're consistent in the way we are living our life and the way that we're giving instruction, that if we give instruction, it's in line also with what we want to do. But there are going to be times when you fall out of line with your own instruction. where there's things to aspire to that maybe you haven't been there yet, but your children need to see you aspiring to greater. Instruction literally means to place before the mind. So we want to make sure it's something that they think about. It means to confront. So instruction is closely connected to discipline, because with discipline should come instruction. Eli, who was a priest, not my son, Eli, who's a priest in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in 1 Samuel, he does many great things, but he's also known for being the guy who was not a good dad. His children were also priests, but they were doing some funny things with sacrifices. They were doing things in an inappropriate manner. And God warns them and says, you better stop it. But he doesn't. Eli failed to confront his boys. Eli failed to confront them, to discipline them, to make them do what they should do. And he failed to instruct them about their sin. Because of this, they were destroyed. Because of this, Israel was defeated in battle. It was a horrible day for Israel. They lost the Ark of the Covenant. Men, we need to be involved in our children's lives, verbally instructing them so that they know how to live their life. We need to regularly lead them in devotion. We need to regularly lead them in prayer. We are responsible to monitor their life. Along with your wife, get input from her so that you're able to help their impressionable minds. Take responsibility to make sure that they have a meaningful experience. Make sure that they're in church. Make sure that our example illustrates the reality of the instruction that we're trying to teach. That it's do as I do, not do as I say. Now, dads, you're going to mess up on these do's and don'ts. But the important thing to do is to recognize that and correct it in your own life so that your children see that as well. So in the next week, few weeks, think about these do's and don'ts and how you raise your children. We don't want to exasperate them. We don't want to anger them just to anger them. Doesn't mean that our children won't be angry from time to time. But it does mean that we need to be consistent in how we raise our children. Dads, what do your children see in you? Do they see a dad who loves them, who cares for them, who's willing to show that, who's willing to be consistent, who doesn't take out on them what they shouldn't? And when they do, they apologize and get it right. Father, we thank you that you are a God who loves us and who cares about us and gave your only son for us so that we could know you. So, Father, I pray that we would not stir up anger in our children, but that we would train them and instruct them according to your word. That we take these do's and don'ts to heart, that we would have a Christ-centered life, and to teach our children about you and your word. In your name we pray. Amen.